This is the Midwest Today Radio Edition. I'm Dan Hurst, and this is the show based on the contents of Midwest Today Magazine. This week, we'll talk about how the Gulf oil spill is affecting the heartland. If you're a regular listener, you just knew that Midwest Today environmental editor Dave Christie would have some interesting insights to offer about the disaster in the Gulf. Here's his report.
The images have been horrifying and depressing. Crude oil spewing uncontrollably like smoke from a man-made hole in the earth nearly a mile beneath the surface of the Gulf of Mexico. Thousands of endangered sea animals and birds coated in oil, dying or already dead. Tar balls washing up on what were once pristine beaches. Fragile marshes that are rapidly being suffocated by the black viscous liquid. It's not just a disaster that affects the Gulf. Millions of gallons of highly toxic dispersant being used to make the spill look better on the surface of the water is not only poisoning birds, but also undersea life, then evaporating, being carried north on air currents and deposited on the heartland as rain. The oil will even affect the birds we see here in the Midwest. The Gulf Coast wetlands are the equivalent of a busy airport hub with 110 species of migratory songbirds and 75% of all migratory waterfowl making a stopover there. As oceanographer Sylvia Earle told a congressional panel, the Gulf of Mexico is not, as some believe, an industrial wasteland valuable primarily as a source of petrochemicals and a few species of ocean wildlife that humans exploit for food, commodities, and recreational fishing. These are assets worth protecting as if our lives depended on them, because in no small measure, they do. Earle described the Gulf of Mexico as, quote, a living laboratory, America's Mediterranean, a tri-national treasure known better for yielding hurricanes, petrochemicals, shrimp, and, in recent years, notorious dead zones, than for its vital role in generating oxygen, taking and holding carbon, distributing nutrients, stabilizing temperature, yielding fresh water to skies that returns as rain, and contributing to the ocean's planetary role as Earth's life support system. Most Americans have been shocked to learn that for decades, our elected officials and the bureaucrats they appoint have been greenlighting risky drilling in the Gulf, allowing big oil companies to exploit the commons and endanger our natural resources in the quest for outrageous profits. There are 3,600 active oil wells in the Gulf alone, and the Associated Press reports there's another 27,000 abandoned wells, 600 owned by British Petroleum, creating, quote, an environmental minefield that has been ignored for decades. How long will it take for an ecosystem this ravaged to be restored and made whole, as Interior Secretary Ken Salazar has pledged to do? It's not at all certain that such a thing is remotely possible, especially given the appalling inadequacy of the federal cleanup response thus far. As Naomi Klein writes, we do know this. Far from being made whole, the Gulf Coast more than likely will be diminished. Its rich waters and crowded skies will be less alive than they are today. The physical space many communities occupy on the map will also shrink thanks to erosion, and the coast's legendary culture will contract and wither. The fishing families up and down the coast do not just gather food, after all. They hold up an intricate network that includes family tradition, cuisine, music, art, and endangered languages, much like the roots of grass holding up the land in the marsh. Without fishing, these unique cultures lose their root system, the very ground on which they stand. We don't have to be attacked by terrorists. We're destroying ourselves and the Earth quite effectively all on our own. Like the Dust Bowl during the Depression, this man-made catastrophe will send homeless multitudes out on the road looking for new neighborhoods and livelihoods. Hopefully, the Gulf oil spill is a wake-up call before it's too late. I'm Dave Christie for the Midwest Today Radio Edition.
Thanks, Dave. Read more about this in the latest issue of Midwest Today magazine at www.midtod.com. That's MIDTOD.com. Well, the world-famous Iowa State Fair is underway in Des Moines, an annual event that's been held since 1854 when Franklin Pierce was president. The fair has inspired a novel, three movies, plus a Rodgers and Hammerstein Broadway musical. It's one of the world's largest livestock shows, has hundreds of competitive events, 600 exhibitors and concessionaires, a midway with a double Ferris wheel, and a life-size cow made out of butter. Paula Deen would love it. Appearing in the grandstand will be Pat Benatar and REO Speedwagon, Keith Urban, and Sheryl Crow, among others. Even though the Iowa State Fair is an old-fashioned attraction, it still draws young and old alike. More than 1 million visitors each year. See you at the fair. I'm Dan Hurst for the Midwest Today Radio Edition.